Hussein genocide trial threw the former Iraqi leader out of court today after he protested the removal of the previous judge. Hussein's defense lawyers also walked out of court. The International Committee of the Red Cross will travel to Guantanamo Bay next week to visit the 14 prisoners recently transferred there from secret CIA prisons. At the Pentagon, NATO's top military commander in Afghanistan says the recent offensive named Operation Medusa killed at least 1,000 Taliban fighters. However, he says the drug trade is increasing and it funds the insurgency. At the United Nations General Assembly today, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez called President Bush, quote, the devil, which drew some applause from the audience. Also in New York today, President Bush met with the Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas to discuss how to bring peace in the Middle East. On Capitol Hill today, Congress began debate on limited rather than comprehensive immigration legislation. The Senate is discussing the construction of a 700-mile fence along the border with Mexico, while members of the House are debating a requirement to show proof of citizenship prior to voting. In Thailand, the army commander who seized power yesterday received the endorsement of the country's king following the bloodless coup. He will act as the interim prime minister. He also pledges that elections will be held by next October. The overthrow of the Thai government is causing concern among officials of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, who have been meeting this week in Singapore. In Budapest, for the second night in a row, protesters clashed with police. The violence initially began after the prime minister admitted that he lied about the country's economy to win the election. In Japan today, Shinzo Abe won the leadership of the governing Liberal Democratic Party. This makes him likely to become the next prime minister after retiring Prime Minister Koizumi leaves office at the end of this month. U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is making his first trip to China. Today, both countries set up high-level teams to hold future economic talks. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
In Washington today, a Senate panel approved President Bush's choice for commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that 131 people in 21 states have been sickened by E. coli bacteria linked to contaminated fresh spinach. The state of California is suing 6 car makers to hold them liable for their vehicle emissions and the damage these greenhouse gases cause the state. The French press reports that Airbus is expected to announce a 6-month delay in the delivery of the A380, the new super jumbo jet. Boeing has been awarded a $2 billion federal contract to build high-tech equipment to combat illegal immigration along the U.S.-Mexican border. The Federal Reserve met today and decided to leave the key interest rate unchanged, which stands at 5.25%. George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, has donated $175 million to USC, his alma mater. It is the largest donation in the school's history. Rupert Murdoch, the chairman of News Corp, plans to start a Chinese version of the MySpace popular social network website. And a federal agency says gasoline prices are expected to go down another 25 cents. Over the past 6 weeks, the average price of a gallon of unleaded gas has dropped to $2.25. Light sweet crude settled at $60.46 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 72 points, the Nasdaq up 30. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me's right. Today's time for your me's right.
Monday
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome one more time again to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 6 minutes past the top of the hour, and you are listening to this radio program live today. I had to take a day off yesterday because of a cold, and you can probably hear it in my voice. I've got the flu, but I'm going to struggle through the show today because it's important to me to get the word out to you, and I know that you, a lot of you listeners, depend on this show, and I want to be there for you, and glad to be back with you again today. I am being fueled by caffeine and tea and coffee, and what else? What else do I have surrounding me here? some other things too. Anyway, if you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366, as you heard at the top of the hour. If you want to email me, it comes zipping to bruce@brucebirch.com. That's B-U-R-C-H, B-U-R-C-H, bruce@brucebirch.com. I also have a blog site over at brucebirch.com, and I just added a little widget there that I hope you will avail yourself of. It's a subscribable email list. You can actually have the topics of each show emailed directly to your email box, as opposed to having to come to the website that I will send out every day. And also, as time allows, when I write editorials or pieces that are relevant to the current events of the day, I'll also send those via email as well. So it'll be fun to, if you want to get in on that, please do come on and do that. Also, quick program note, today I will have Greg Pallast on the radio program to talk about some of the things that he's been going dealing with and going through and working on over the last few weeks. That'll be a little bit later in the show, so do stay tuned for that. Want to go straight over to the phone lines. Our good friend David from Maine is joining us at the top of the hour. David, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
Good afternoon, Bruce. I'm doing all right. I wanted to talk about a few things. First thing I want to talk about was, I don't know if you heard about this artist from the UK named Banksy. He did a guerrilla stage art program. He put this is so funny. He put a life-size figure of a Guantanamo detainee in Disneyland.
In Disneyland?
Yeah, it's sad. It was there for 90 minutes. When I say life size, it was the size of a human being dressed in orange with a hood on, and nobody noticed it for 90 minutes.
Nobody noticed it. You know, people, I think, are you know, it's almost like they're can it's. I've seen a lot of that here in the States, David, where people have, for shock value, trying to get the message across, dress up in the orange jumpsuits with the black hoods on, and actually, you know, with a chain around their hands, and they're offering it to. They walk around and they offer the chain to people, you know.
Well, you know the thing about it, Bruce, is that the right wing, the reason why they get so mad about it is they don't realize, first of all, it's a harmless prank, and second of all, they're not clever enough to think about how to do the right prank. And I mean, if they had somebody working for them, it could be effective. You could get PR headlines like that. That's why a lot of people in the right are, I'd say, jealous, envious, whatever you want to. They just get mad because when somebody gets attention, they're like, "Why didn't I think of that?"
Yeah, I know it.
I mean, basically, like, for example, when we talk about attention getting stunts, Hugo Chavez today.
Now, yes.
Now, see, the thing people had to realize is if you're playing poker at a table, you're trying to force someone's hand. Now, he just pulled a Chavez just pulled a poker face or something to that effect and is trying to force the hand of the administration to comment.
I think I would call that, I'll call you and raise you.
Yeah. Celebrity poker.
Celebrity, yes. Celebrity poker with Hugo Chavez and George W. Bush.
Celebrity UN poker. So here's the thing that I found funny. I'm listening to a lot of different right-wing opinions because I want to see. And they just eat it up. They take the PR. They take the PR bait, and they think, well, if we put out Chavez's name and we try to tie him to Ahmadinejad, wow, we could really catapult and rev up the base. But the problem is that you're just giving PR to these people and their causes and what they represent. I don't know personally Chavez or Ahmadinejad, so I'm not going to cheer for them. But I'm going to say, people should have the right to say what they want to say freely. And for somebody to say, that was shameful, they should have never said that. Maybe they shouldn't have laughed. Maybe they just found it funny that Chavez was making gestures. I don't know. But something like that, sometimes world leaders need to vent.
And what a better place to do it than in the seat of the World Debate Society there at the UN. I actually before the show watched some of that a clip of that, and he was standing at the podium waving, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on the show too, but he was standing at the podium waving the one of Noam Chomsky's books.
Yeah, I've heard
said,
about this.
And said, if you haven't read this book, you need to read it. And as a matter of fact, there's one person in particular, I think, who really needs to read it.
He didn't comment on whether 9/11 was an inside job, did he? Because I've heard he's been saying that.
He did say that actually a few days ago, but I don't think he mentioned that today. No.
See, he's clever, but the thing is that. I'm like, okay, so you're getting mad that he called Bush as the devil, but you didn't get mad that he said it was an inside job, Bush planned it. I would be more offended by that, but they didn't dig up that quote. Because they think, well, the UN speech, this is what's highlighted. I mean, if they wanted to, they could have just played a soundbite of what Chavez said in a not so distant past.
Sure.
And the thing that interests me about the whole Chavez and Ahmadinejad speeches is the fact that so many people get so riled up over the UN, over UN speakers, but they don't get riled up, Bruce, over James Dobson, Pat Buchanan. It's almost like they're silent on this. And if you think about it, it's like, well, what do you mean? And I read part of an interesting article, and they were saying that why isn't James Dobson investigated by the IRS? And they got into all the details.
I was going to bring that up too, because it if anyone is politically motivated, he's the one. And yet at a church in Pasadena, California, 2 days before the election of 2004, the minister gets up and has an anti-war sermon, and immediately they go under investigation.
And you know, Bruce, I've been thinking about this, and a lot of time the left runs from a lot of the right pundits, and they don't want to comment on it like the right does. I say it's high time to continue to amp up and comment, and maybe get some public debates going, where you actually have some of these people, and you have a free for all. Maybe C-SPAN would provide it, but there just needs to be more of an energizing effect to show people how rational the left is, or progressives for that matter. To show, okay, guess what? We don't just have left wing communists. We also have moderate, middle to the right thinkers who think you're wacko. You know?
I think that would be a wonderful idea to have a place, to have they have the Battle of the Bands.
Right.
Well, what about the Battle of the talk show hosts?
You know, I was thinking, you know what would be great, ticket seller? Some of the For example,
I want to see Mike Malloy and Rush Limbaugh go at it in a cage match.
We have to think on a smaller scale. I was thinking like the pajamas media type pundits who continue to ramp up the rhetoric, and they continue to get like publicity in the Wall Street Journal, New York Sun, places like that, and they're never taken to task by they release these comments. They get some kind of soundbite from their comments. Like for example, today Claudia Rosette was on. Now, if people don't know who Claudia Rosette is, she's the one who brought up the oil for food scandal. Immediately, what people in for the progressive movement should do is we should be thinking about we need to confront these people directly, and if they really want an open debate, we need to start channeling that energy and focusing on how we can bring this to fruition, because I really think that it's high time for a lot of these public debates to happen. And not like the Christopher Hitchens Galloway thing. That to me was too much, they're both theatrical people, and it was a good debate, but we need to have something that shows people, the progressives, okay, we're not all just loud and boisterous. We all have something to say that is of reasonable and irrationality and of not just name-calling or any of that matter. And I think personally that we need to continue going down that road, and hopefully, I don't know how we could basically spark it, but there has to be some way where we can engage a lot of these pundits and ideologues and think tank people who really want to have a serious debate. And I know that not all of them do, but I guarantee you a good percentage, 25, maybe 15% of these people really do want to have some kind of debate, because they really think that all of the left are loon bats and loons and hate America, because they just believe this rhetoric because they need something personally to believe in.
Well, not only that, but it's easier to demonize those that you disagree with, and that way you can dismiss them out of hand a lot easier. But there are radio hosts that attempt to create that kind of dialogue or debate between sides. And you know, on the one hand, I would say in an event kind of situation that would be a cool thing. I don't know that people would want to hear that all the time.
Oh, I agree with you on that statement.
But I'm not. I mean, again, I'm not like a.
I heard a good debate on the radio. It was on a conservative show. It had Abdullah from the American Conservative magazine. And Donahue from the Catholic League, you know, the guy that was all riled up over the Da Vinci Code. And the thing that was interesting about it was Donahue was pretty quiet for a while because there was no bait given. He realized that that most Muslim people are moderate in temper and in and I think he started to really think about it. But the problem is then when he goes to another media outlet, they're going to bring someone out who says, what seems to him in his mind as aggressive statements. And to me, we need to have more of that approach where, I don't support terrorism, here's why, and just spell it out rationally why it is. I mean, I know it's exhausting to do this because it really should be ingrained in us. But since birth, but for some people it isn't. It's like, of course we have moderate people. Of course we have rational thinking people about this issue. But to just keep bringing up this question, it just seems to me, it's like we need to get the drummer boys. We need to get the drummer boys off the road, basically.
Well, and that's gonna take some work. But I think people are opening their eyes and they're beginning to see. David, that the right wing has completely taken this country off the rails, and so some of that will happen, I'm sure, as we get closer into the election season, and for sure as we get closer to a presidential election. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
But, Dave, I've got another caller right behind you, and then I've got an interview at the bottom of the hour.
No problem, Bruce. I'll be moving along.
You'll call back later on if you want to, but I've kind of got to roll on, my friend. So
I will call back tomorrow.
All right.
All right, later.
All right, have a great day. And that was our friend David from Maine, who always has something interesting to contribute to the radio program. Let's go straight over to Jim on line two. Jim, how are you doing this afternoon, sir?
Okay, tú tienes un resfriado, huh?
I'm sorry?
Un catarro, resfriado.
Okay.
A cold.
Yes, that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a bit of the flu, a viral thing going on.
Well, I hope that passes quickly. I think it'd be a great idea for them to have a match between some of these people, sort of like WWF does,
yeah.
And have Ric Flair as the
moderator. Folding chairs, though.
Huh?
No folding chairs, though. We don't.
Well, yeah, I play folding chairs. Who cares? I mean, you know, let's let them go at it. You know, I think it's wonderful. But I thought it was pretty interesting what I think it was Chavez said in the UN that he smelled fire and brimstone and sulfur.
Yeah, he said, I can still smell the stench of sulfur.
That the very demon had risen from the pit of hell and had been there before him. And, you know, that ought to give you some ideas exactly how people began to feel about this guy and have felt about him for a long, long time.
And what amazed me, Jim, wasn't what he said, but was the audience reaction.
Oh,
I
know.
They uproariously laughed. They laughed so loud that it came through over his microphone.
Well, there it is. And, you know, that ought to tell, if that doesn't tell Mr. Bush something, I don't know what else will, of course. I mean, he's basically has nothing but contempt for the UN. Look who he sent to represent us there. I mean, you know, that's just he would just assume the planes that hit the UN if they were the World Trade Center, you know, to tell you the truth, in my opinion.
The man that he sent to the UN said that they could lose the top 10 floors of the entire building and nobody, and it wouldn't be missed. I mean, you know, what was he thinking in sending that guy there?
Well, because both these men have lost their top 10 floors a long time ago.
Yeah,
you know what really angers me, and I'm going to get off here because I know you have people who want to talk, is when Bush leaves, he's going to be able to go back to Kitty Buckford or Crawford and sit there and clip coupons, and we're going to be left to clean up this crap that he has left us in and to try to make some order out of the mishmash in which has been left, you know? But that's okay.
Yeah.
We had to do it before. We can do it again, I guess. But
I was going to say, Jim, that, you know, this is nothing new. You know, I don't know if you listened to Head On with Bob Kincaid last night.
No.
But, you know, at the very end of his show, he played the speech or parts of the speech that Ann Richards gave at the 1988 Democratic National Convention.
Oh, George had his silver foot in his mouth.
Yeah, and but it was very prophetic, and the things that she, the exact same things that she was saying in that speech, almost 20 years ago,
right,
is the same exact crap that we're dealing with right now.
You know, that convention was really star-crossed. I mean, Ann Richards played a prominent role there, and I have a lot of respect for her. She overcame alcoholism and did very well. It was liked by everybody. And John F. Kennedy Jr. was there. It was his shining moment. They're both gone. And it just shows you how life is. Sic transit gloria mundi. But nonetheless, we have to move on. And, you know, I hope that this country can at least survive the remainder of his administration. And I'm just on tenterhooks until November 7th. So I hope I'll live to see a Democratic Congress be able to deal with some of these people.
Well, I believe you will, Jim. Just keep breathing.
Well, and just and one thing about it is, you know, there are a lot of moderates out there. I think David was talking about that earlier, and there are a lot of independents. And I think if we play our cards right, we can get these people into our fold. You know, we just have to be patient, and just it'll only be a few more weeks, and I think the Bush presidency has done its work, and the work has been in our favor and not his. And I don't think that they're going to pull out any October surprise either. I don't see it down the pike.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I was in one of the chat rooms over at, I was over at powersandmorrison.com last night, and I was in a chat room talking to some people, and the idea hit my head that the October surprise was going to be about immigration. And what did I see in the news this morning? That Bill Frist was pushing forward on the fence on the southern border there. When they said they weren't going to deal with it until after the election.
Well, actually, they're going to postpone something that would be that unpopular. But, I mean, I think people have begun to see through this. I mean, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And I just have a guarded hope that America will be able to do the right thing as far as November 7th is concerned. And I just certainly hope that the electoral system will permit us to do this and they won't try to steal another one.
Yeah, I was going to say that, is that the electoral system that we have, the system of government that we have is self-correcting, It swings both ways. I mean, over history, we can look back and see that we've had conservative governments, we've had liberal governments, but in the long run, I think overall the changes that have been made in America have been progressive changes, and so I think time will tell. But I do believe very strongly that everything that I'm reading and everything that I've when I talk to people out in my travels. Everybody's sick of this guy, and they want him out.
Well, I hope so. And, our history is basically punctuated with one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. But hopefully this time we'll go in the right direction. And we just need to keep our wits in our about us and be on the lookout for these guys and be proactive as much as we possibly can and get out there and vote. That's the main thing.
And the other thing is don't allow, where the left has progressed, has increasingly gone off track, is to allow the right to frame the issues. We cannot react. My view is that we've got a country. We've got our way of governing, our style of living is at stake here. And people may disagree on immigration, they may disagree on abortion, they may disagree on a lot of different things, but the bottom line is that we won't have any time to debate those if we're living under martial law.
Well, let's hope it's not going to come to that, and let's hope that we can be more proactive than we have been, because if you're in a reactive stance, then you're not in a very good position to counter your enemy's next blow that's coming at you. You know what I'm saying? Because you're still reeling from the first punch.
You're absolutely right. By the way, Jim, before you get off of here, there's some folks in the chat room that are saying, tell Jim we love him.
I can't believe that. Really?
I'm serious.
Well, tell him I appreciate that very much, and the feeling is likewise. And, you have a good show, and I hope your colon continues to mend, and you just stay up there and just keep a cool head, okay?
Certainly will, Jim. Thanks for your call, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
All right. God bless.
All right. And that was our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere in the northern hemisphere. We're going to go ahead and take our break. And all things being equal and the universe aligns and the moon and the stars and everything lines up the way it's supposed to, when we come back, we'll have Greg Palast on the line. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network being simulcast on radiopower.org. We'll be right back.
Yeah. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. George Bush, meet Maher Arar. He's the Canadian citizen born in Syria who was snatched at JFK on September 28, 2002, on his way back to Ottawa after a family vacation in Tunisia. U.S. officials held him for 5 days without allowing him to make any phone call, and 3 days later they sent him on a plane to Syria. There he was tortured. Here is his account. They opened a door and I looked in. I couldn't believe what I saw. It was like a grave. It had no light. It was 3 feet wide. It was 6 feet deep. It was 7 feet high. There were cats and rats up there, and from time to time the cats peed through the opening into the cell. I spent 10 months and 10 days inside that grave. Maher Arar says, during the first 2 weeks, guards used a black electrical cable about 2 inches thick, and they hit me with it everywhere on my body. To get it to stop, Arar eventually signed a false confession. The Canadian government has just concluded an investigation into the case of Maher Arar, demonstrating that he had no connection whatsoever to terrorism. The American authorities, who handled Mr. Arar's case, treated Mr. Arar in a most regrettable fashion, the report says, with classic Canadian understatement. But if Bush has his way, other detainees will be treated in this most regrettable fashion. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying, or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
I decided, this is Bruce Birch back with you again. I decided to let that one run out a little bit because this afternoon I'm feeling a little bit like I've been tied to the whipping post and given 40 lashes. We're working on trying to get Greg Palast on, but in the meantime, what I wanted to do was run down a quick list for you. Okay? Got a quick list that it has been compiled, and it's the 25 most tainted. Wait a minute, let's see. We may not have time to cover that. Do a different story. Before we get to the interview, I just wanted to, the points that the two callers brought up about Cesar Chavez, Hugo Chavez. really is quite amazing, because here's a man who has been the bane of the Washington establishment. Here's a man who has been completely on the outs with the Bush administration, and he dares to come to New York and call Bush himself. Well, he didn't come right out and say, Bush is the devil. He didn't say that. He said the devil is here, the devil is in the people's house, basically. So there you go. I think that takes a lot of chutzpah. Joining me on the line right now is Greg Pallast. Greg Pallast is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Armed Madhouse. And you can go to his website at gregpallast.com if you're interested in purchasing that book. He is an investigative journalist who has reinvented, in my view, what it means to be an investigative reporter, and brings a style to his reporting that is very unique and that I think is fantastic. Greg Pallast, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bruce, glad to be with you.
Greg, I don't like to fawn too much, but you are a guy that I have been reading and have been watching and have been listening to for quite a while, and I just wanted to tell you, since I have the opportunity, that you're a great guy, man. You're doing great work, man, and we need more people like you out there. So, thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Well, fawn all you like. I appreciate it, and you should know that your views are absolutely not shared by the American media mogul. They don't
well,
like at all.
Yeah. No, not at all. Well, tell me about that a little bit. I mean, I know, you've had to go to Britain to be able to do the work that you're doing. Is it that there's no one in the United States that's interested in being able to carry your stuff, or what?
Well, no, not big commercial networks really, really don't want to hear what I have to report. So I have to go to England, to BBC, which is, still the world's biggest network, but nevertheless, I'm reporting about my country. But it's, not the official news blessed by the White House or either of the major parties. And so, therefore, it's unwelcome stuff. It's investigative reporting, which means it doesn't come from a press release. It's expensive to do. They don't want to hear this. I write about stolen elections, stealing oil. And, it's really, in a way, it's in that very wider sense. I'm really talking about a class war between, the powerful few and the kind of the rest of us. And it's not a very popular thing to be in reporting on. And it doesn't have a party that it affiliates with. It's purely kind of them and us. And them don't want to hear about it.
No, they certainly don't. Now, I've followed very closely some of your dispatches from Mexico recently. Yeah. Tell me, I'd like to know, how were you able to get in there and get some of the information that you were getting about, obviously about the stolen election down there?
Well, stolen elections, first of all, I had experience. The stolen election in Mexico was simply, chapter 3 of stolen elections of North America, beginning in Florida 2000, Ohio in 2004. They used a lot of the same tricks, which really haven't been discussed in the U.S. We talk about Catherine Harris and her hanging chads, and we talk about, Ken Blackwell and his strange manipulations. But a lot of this is really about votes that are cast, not counted. In America, we had 3.6 million votes that were cast. No one ever counted. And that's usually because of funky, bad machines. And and in Mexico, they had nearly 1 million votes that were cast and never counted. Now, in Mexico, that's really hard to do because to have a ballot which doesn't get counted means there they have a paper ballot. The only thing on it is the presidential race. A big old box, not a little tiny box, but like a quarter page box that you put an X through. It's really easy to tell who someone voted for president, but they have a million votes sitting in a pile uncounted. And the challenger to the ruling clique he simply had a simple request. He didn't say make me president. He said count all those ballots, and they won't. And of course they've got, Big Brother George north of the border who's happy to enforce the electoral coup d'etat by, the southern elite, by the Mexican elite. I mean, it's a lot of the same characters, by the way. The owners of Univision television are very big in the USA as well as in Mexico. The billionaires that operate in Mexico operate in the USA. It's the same. There's really, since NAFTA erased the border, the ruling elites of Mexico, Canada, and the USA have been pretty much joined together in one little happy party.
The phrase comes to mind, no war but the class war.
Yeah. I mean, one of the stories I've written about is how after George Bush Sr. was booted out of office by the American public, he went to work for a Canadian billionaire, arranging for the Canadians to buy up gold mines, and they bought up Tanzanian gold mines dirt cheap. But then they also bought up, Daddy Bush helped them get a U.S. gold mine, the biggest in America, in Nevada, worth $10 billion, and picked it up off the U.S. Treasury for a claim stake of $10,000. So a $10,000 U.S. gold mine, a $10 billion U.S. gold mine for $10,000, care of the U.S. citizens, and Bush Sr. got a piece of the action. Now, am I out to get the Republicans? No. After Bush Sr. quit the board of that company because his son became our president, he was replaced by Andy Young,
former mayor of
Atlanta. So, it's like one little club.
I noticed, and actually he was doing some commercial or some PSAs recently about buying silver or something, too, and I just thought,
and Vernon Jordan joined the same board of directors. So you got Vernon Jordan, Andy Young, and George Bush Sr., they pretend to be different parties, but they're all in one golf, they all go to the same, clubhouse off the same golf course.
Sure. Now, moving back to Mexico a little bit, mm-hmm. what were there actually people who were involved in some of the 2000 and 2004 shenanigans in Mexico involved in those shenanigans as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, you had Dick Morris, for example. Again, a guy who's worked at all the parties. I mean, he worked for Bill Clinton, then he switched over and worked for the Republican Party, and where he started, and then he went and worked for the ruling party of Mexico, advising them. One of the things that he's very good at is telling people to ignore exit polls. Now, exit polls, unlike normal opinion polls, you ask people when they come out of a voting booth, who'd you vote for? Well, that's not, there's not a lot of guessing there. Like, I might change my mind, I may not vote. You know who you voted for. And when exit polls don't match the official polls, you pretty much can figure you got someone shoplifting an election. So Morris is very good at helping people stop the complaints about stolen elections. In the Ukraine, when the exit polls didn't match the official polls, the Bush administration, which wanted to change the Ukrainian government, said, hey, the exit polls don't match the official polls. There must have been vote fraud. These are from the guys who said ignore the exit polls in Ohio. These are from the guys who said ignore the exit polls showing the challenger won in Mexico. So, because I knew where to, the election theft is pretty much the same all over the world, except in places like Iraq, where the elections are fixed by machine guns.
Yes, they are, aren't they? My God.
But before and after Saddam, it's the only thing that's changed is the turban. Instead of mustaches, we have turbans now.
Right. And that place is just, it's blowing up it's erupting I don't even want to think about it right this moment. But the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, too, was what happened in Louisiana?
Uh-huh.
You were down there recently. You did an investigative piece on New Orleans a year later.
Yes.
And tell me what happened with all that.
Well, thing that happened down there while I was doing the report a couple weeks ago is I got a criminal charge against me from Homeland Security. I'm laughing about it. I can laugh about it now because they dropped the charge a few days ago. It was for filming critical infrastructure. I was filming the Exxon refinery outside of Baton Rouge, basically showing this big filth ball. It's huge, second largest refinery in the U.S. It's a major pollution point. And that's where we have stuck thousands of Katrina survivors in this kind of Guantanamo on wheels that this mobile home camp that we've set up there. These people are stuck there over a year. Now, just so you know, these aren't really, you know, like very poor people. These are working people, people who had jobs in New Orleans. Now they can't get to them. It's too far away, and or the jobs have been washed away. Their homes have been washed away. Everything's washed away, and they're stuck there. And this is, you know, how we're treating the people of New Orleans. Whereas, by the way, I want to just note the difference. We had a hurricane that wiped out West Hampton Dunes in Long Island. Now, West Hampton is one of the ritziest places in America. Celebrity homes on the beachfront. The Army Corps of Engineers restored the beachfront there, totally rebuilt the place at a cost of nearly $1 million a home, rebuilt these mansions along the beaches, and that was all paid for care of the United States taxpayers. So when rich celebrities get wiped out by a hurricane, you know, the federal government just has no bottom to the checkbook. But it's when, you know, average us, forget it. And one of the things that I, besides the crazy inhumanity of it, is that this administration was responsible for those people losing their homes, because the information I expose is that before the, years before the levees cracked, the federal government and the Bush White House personally was told by the head of the Hurricane Center at Louisiana State University that there was a mistake in building the levees. They're a foot and a half too short, and therefore they can't withstand the expected storm. And I say expected. Everyone knew it was coming. It was a question of what you're going to do about it.
Right,
and
right.
And I filmed the guy who said that, and he told me his job was threatened for screaming about this stuff years before the levees broke. He said if the levees were simply just a foot and a half higher, they would have sustained the storm surge. Some of it would have been over top, but you wouldn't have had the complete demolition of the levees, which wiped out homes up and down the Gulf Coast.
One could almost assume by that there was perhaps an intention to see that it did happen.
Well, see, the reason they were busting me, they don't want to see it happen. Oh, yeah, I mean, well, by the way, they didn't care. Well, not only didn't they care if New Orleans went under, they were more than happy. Look, they didn't go out and bomb the levee. You know, in fact, there's rumors about that, but that didn't happen. I can't find any of that stuff. But what I do know is that they were warned that if there was a storm, New Orleans was sunk. New Orleans is underwater. The levees couldn't hold. And, of course, once it happened, they were more than happy to keep 80%, and I want to say that 80% of the people who evacuated from New Orleans have not returned, 80%. And they like it that way because New Orleans, this administration has no problem with that. New Orleans was a Democratic state, getting more Democratic, a Democratic governor, Democratic senator. They were definitely going for a Democratic presidential vote. They had voted, actually, once for Clinton. And the result is that, you know, the Bush administration's political problem was washed away. They're not going to let those voters back in. They just are not going to do it. They're going to keep them, you know, spread out in from everywhere from Florida and especially into Texas, where their votes and political power will be lost.
When you were questioned, can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I do. Let's put it this way. I talk about it. One thing I do is that, you know, the lawyers say, don't say anything. I scream. and it worked because they dropped the charges. To me, if they're going to come after news reporters, you know, they knew I was a news reporter and I had a camera and we have press passes, and they knew we were, you know, they didn't like the fact that I'm filming the FEMA encampment. I mean, these people are being treated like prisoners, not like American citizens, okay? It's a year after the flood. There's no reason not to let these people back. They're literally not allowed to bring their trailers, to just put these trailers back in there, back home, where they could at least get some work and work on recovering their own homes, you know? The other they didn't like is that I walked into the office of a FEMA contractor, which was the contractor responsible for emergency evacuation planning, and there was no plan. And how come, you know, these guys didn't have a plan? I mean, basically they had a plan, but it was get in your car and drive like hell. What do you do with 127,000 people in New Orleans who don't have cars? Now, I'm talking about New Orleans, but you have to understand this is a process that went along the entire Gulf Coast. But their real target was to eliminate the city of New Orleans, and that's what they did. It's being replaced by a kind of Six Flags over Louisiana, just a little tourist place with Bourbon Street and some jazz, all gentrified. And And I want to tell you that, sadly, it's both a black and white elite that are very thrilled about this. And this goes back to this issue. There's no, it's not really about a war between parties. It's, for the most part, a war between classes. There, Ray Nagin is part of an old African-American elite there. These were not, these are not descendants of slaves. They're descendants of black slaveholders. And it's, so it's not racial, it's class. They don't want poor black people back in there. The white, the richer whites don't want poor whites or poor black people in there. They want a gentrified city with a certain political bent and a certain economic profile. And that's what they want. And that's what they got. And they don't like anyone taking pictures of anything which exposes this game.
And that's, and that in and of itself is absolutely crazy. You know, that that it just blew my mind when they, when I heard that, that you were being questioned for videographing a private entity, not even a government facility, but a private entity. You know, yeah, that just I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know, we know that they were, that they didn't care about that. I'm going to send the picture of the refinery or the mobile park to Osama. You know, in fact, what I did on my website, I put up a link. If you, if Osama wants to get the refinery, all you have to do is go to Google Maps and you can get really detailed satellite photos of the refinery. I kid you not. Detailed satellite photos of the refinery, each structure. And the government itself gives all the coordinates, you know, of the place down to the degree minutes for mapping of each building and what's in there. I mean, so it's not about national security, because Osama can get this from our, the, our own government. This is about image security. They don't want me to show that, that FEMA, which is part of Homeland Security, has basically, you know, screwed up and are keeping our citizens as prisoners within the United States. I mean, you know, these are victims. These are not criminals. These are victims. And we're all victimized by this. You know, I mean, and of course, all up and down the Gulf Coast, you know, they are basically recreating the Gulf Coast in the image that they like.
A couple of items that I wanted to discuss with you. First one is the book, Armed Madhouse.
Yeah. Well, by the way, the Katrina story and the deal with the creepy contractors and everything is in Armed Madhouse as well. I mean, that's how I close up about class war and hurricanes. But go right ahead.
Okay. Well, what I, well, this, if you could give a brief overview of what you cover in the book, and actually there's another item too that I wanted to talk, that wanted to ask you about, which is the DVD that you've got coming out pretty soon too. But first,
well,
the book.
Our Madhouse covers some big ground. I mean, we start out with everything from the war on terror, the fake war on terror, which I call "Who's Afraid of Osama?" We'll move on to the war in Iraq, which is, you know, when I talk about the oil, I've got the actual plans that they won't show you about what they're going to do with Iraq's oil field. That, very interesting, by the way, is that I discovered in my BBC television investigation in, for our Madhouse that they weren't trying to get the oil. They were trying to make sure that we didn't get the oil. The idea was to keep the market from getting flooded by Iraq's oil. And that's kind of the surprising thing that I discovered. And in that way, you could say that they didn't screw up, because it's been mission accomplished. The oil from Iraq is, has basically been shut down. Then we move on to global finance. And from there on to how they shoplifted the election of 2004 and how they're going to do it in 2008. That's why I talked about this kind of progression from Florida to Ohio to Mexico City, and the next, the next real shoplifting of votes will probably be in the West. And I explain exactly the mechanism of doing it. And I try to do it, by the way, with a lot of humor. There's also, there are about 70 documents in there that, you know, secret, confidential stuff. I like to get that. And we end up with the discussion of class war, everything from how they jack up your electric bill and the process of doing it, the political fixes that were done, to what they did use Hurricane Katrina to basically beat up the working class. And, you know, and I, and all in between is really this issue of class war. So the subtitle is Dispatches from the Front Lines of the Class War. So that's the Armed Madhouse subtitle, which I might change, but at the moment, that's on stick.
Well, that's what I like, a living document, right?
Yeah, I keep redoing it. But that's why you got to go to the website at gregpalace.com to get the updates. But it's fun to read the whole book because then you get all the documents. And, you know, I kind of do it with a little, I try to do it with a little humor because otherwise it's so grim, Bruce. You know, you could go, could lose your mind, you know. So I don't try to, like, make it this super heavy document. It's heavy information, but I try not to present it in a heavy manner.
So you also have a DVD coming out.
Yes, I have a DVD. I did one called Bush Family Fortunes for BBC, but this is a quick one, which will be a DVD called Big Easy to Big Empty, about which will have the film that we're not supposed to take, the critical infrastructure, and what they have. Basically, it's the critical lies that are being exposed here, and it's a combination of horrifying and funny. And and after my bust, so many people are asking for this frightening film that's supposed to help out Osama, that we had made it a TV version, and now we put it on DVD with a lot of added material, which is, again, at GregPalace.com. That'll be out in a few weeks, but you can get it there. Yeah.
You can actually pre-order it there. Now, that's what I was going to ask you, was how can people come and, you know, check out that just go to gregpalace.com, right?
That's right. And if you got you can actually watch bits of it on real, you know, your computer will just click and play on that. You can catch some of that and a little excerpt from the book and the latest information that we have. So I'd invite you to come on in and comment and give me your thoughts.
What are you working on next?
Ah, wouldn't they like to know? always going back to the issue of who owns America. That's kind of what I'm looking at this minute. And visiting some other interesting topics. I'm not done with Mr. Bush's war record yet, because I think that's a very interesting story, how this guy got out of the war in Vietnam. You know, I guess he got into Texas Air Guards and saved us, Houston from Viet Cong attack. That was his heroic gesture. I want to look more into that. Because it tells a story about class privilege. Who gets what? You know, the rest of us, you know, my daddy couldn't make the phone call to get me out, and I guess I'm resentful. You know, I'm just a resentful guy.
Well, you know, with him in charge, it's not hard to be resentful. I mean, this guy, he's running roughshod, man. But,
You know, I have to say that you know, he's one. He's like, you know, probably the extreme, making sure that the oil boys are taken care of at all moments. But you know, you have to remember that all parties have had their piece of this, and there's only, I've always said, there's only one party, Hezbollah Shekel, the party of the cash, and
right.
You know, even Al Gore, you know, Mr. Inconvenient Truth is not, you know, he's missing in action now that the entire auto industry is caving in under the weight of what happened in NAFTA, where Ford is closing, is eliminating literally 50% of its U.S. workforce, and yet opening up, hiring 125,000 people in Mexico to sell cars into the U.S. I wouldn't mind if they expanded in Mexico to sell cars in Mexico. That's a good idea. I have no problem with that. No one on either side of the border is happy with the result there if you're a worker. So, you know, so it's both parties in on this. But the current regime in Washington, it does disturb me, mainly because they weren't, you know. I prefer governments that are elected. These guys were not. You know, I mean, that's the cold truth of it. And what, you know, and the continuing need to lie to us about what's happening in Iraq. But it's, you know, if you read the inside documents about oil in Iraq, you'll realize that they're not so much goof ups as they are actually quite devious. You know, they're smarter. Unfortunately, they're smarter than we think. They're not just goof ups. The price of oil has been $70 a barrel, which means $1 billion a week in windfall profits for Exxon, $1 billion a week. And that's mission accomplished to these guys. Now, they're going to knock it down, you know, by a buck a gallon for the next few weeks until the midterm election. Then it'll be back up. you know. But the basic, and you're supposed to be grateful that that they're giving you back some of your money, you know. But
oh yeah, we are very well conditioned. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I know. It's like they keep punching you in the pump, and then they back off a bit, and you go, oh God, I'm so grateful. Well, don't be grateful. When someone stops punching you over the head, that's your chance to punch back, man. Get up off the floor. Get up off the mat. You know.
Well, we got to say,
I'm not partisan on this. I just it's just that the current characters certainly have a lot to answer for.
I think so too, Greg. I think so too, Greg Palast. It's been wonderful having a conversation with you this afternoon, and. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to get you back on again, and once you have another piece come out or another investigative journalism movie where you videograph critical infrastructure such as maybe the Houston document repository.
Yeah. Well, you know, the I'll tell you what. I'll just. Catch you, and just remember to send that file and a cake to Guantanamo for me. We'll get out.
I'll definitely will do that.
You
Greg,
it.
Thanks so much for joining.
Bye.
All right. And that was Greg Palast. What a wonderful guy. Thanks a lot, Greg, for joining us. It's about, it's right at the top of the hour. We're going to go to the news. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. We'll take whatever we can get. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. On the Head On Radio Network, being simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. At the United Nations General Assembly today, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez called President Bush the devil. The leftist leader also accused the U.S. government of, quote, domination, exploitation, and pillage of peoples of the world, end quote. Also in New York today, President Bush met with the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to discuss how to bring peace in the Middle East. On Capitol Hill today, Congress began limited, rather than comprehensive, immigration legislation. The Senate is discussing the construction of a 700-mile fence along the border with Mexico, while members of the House passed a requirement to show proof of citizenship in the form of a photo ID prior to voting. In Iraq, a top U.S. military spokesman says the number of attacks against American troops has increased. Most have been by roadside bombs or suicide car bombers. That follows al-Qaeda in Iraq's call earlier this month to target American forces. In Baghdad, the new judge in the Saddam Hussein genocide trial threw the former Iraqi leader out of court today after he protested the removal of the previous judge. Hussein's defense lawyers also walked out of court. In Jerusalem today, the Israeli army chief said that the planned withdrawal of troops from southern Lebanon is unlikely to be completed by this weekend, as earlier indicated. Final details concerning UN peacekeepers still need to be worked out. At the Pentagon, NATO's top military commander in Afghanistan says the recent offensive named Operation Medusa killed at least 1,000 Taliban fighters. However, he said the growing drug trade is funding the insurgency. In Thailand, the army commander who seized power yesterday received the endorsement of the country's king following the bloodless coup. He will act as the interim prime minister. He also pledges that elections will be held by next October. In Budapest, for the second night in a row, protesters clashed with police. The violence began after the prime minister admitted that he lied about the country's economy to win the election. In Washington today, a Senate panel approved President Bush's choice for the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that 131 people in 21 states have been sickened by E. coli bacteria linked to fresh spinach. Health officials are still trying to pinpoint the exact source of the contamination. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The space shuttle Atlantis has been cleared for landing tomorrow. NASA concluded that the mysterious space debris identified yesterday floating outside of the spacecraft did not cause any damage. The Russian space capsule carrying the first paying female space passenger docked today at the International Space Station. The state of California is suing six car makers to hold them liable for their vehicle emissions and the damage these greenhouse gases caused the state. Toyota has announced plans to sell nearly 10 million vehicles worldwide in 2008, which would help it overtake GM as the number one auto seller in the U.S. The Federal Reserve met today and decided to leave the key interest rate unchanged, which stands at 5.25%. BP, the British energy company, will invest $3 billion in its U.S. refinery located in Indiana. The investment will increase gasoline output by nearly 2 million gallons a day at the facility by 2011 when the project is scheduled for completion. A federal agency says gasoline prices are expected to go down another 25 cents. Over the past 6 weeks, the average price of a gallon of unleaded gas nationwide has decreased 54 cents to $2.25. Light sweet crude settled at $60.46 a barrel today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 72 points, the Nasdaq was up 30 points, the S&P 500 was up 7. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Back on with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 7 minutes past the hour. We ran over just a little bit with our interview with Greg Palast, but that's all good because Greg is doing great work. And as he said, that was very, in my view, absolutely true. It is about class. It is about class. It's always been about class. It will always be about class. Now, if you're interested in his book, you can go to gregpalast.com, and you can buy it through there. I think also our friend, our good pal and buddy and friend John Fox is working to get a link to the Amazon book on our website. So you can go to headonradionetwork.com, I'm sure at some point this evening, and buy it through there. Yep, there it is. I'm looking at it right now on the right-hand side of the page. So you can buy it straight through Amazon.com via the horn, okay? All right, moving right along. What an amazing interview, though. What an amazing interview. Moving right along, I've got a couple of stories here. Well, the first thing I wanted to do was, let's see if I can do this. The first thing I wanted to do was play a little bit of this translated speech by Hugo Chavez at the UN. What he said was pretty amazing. If you haven't heard this, you've got to hear some of this. Now, at the beginning of his talk, he starts talking about, or he's waving a book around, I should say. My brain is a little slow today, folks. I've got the flu, so please bear with me. He's got a book that he's waving around, and it's by Noam Chomsky, and it's called Hegemony, hegemony, hegemony. I figure if I say it enough different ways that it will say it the right way. Anyway, it's called hegemony and survival. This was a bad radio moment, wasn't it? Okay. I'm trying to get this thing to load. It may not load. At any rate, okay. Well, anyway, I'll just quote him. He says, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez blasted President Bush as El Diablo on the floor of the UN General Assembly on Wednesday and suggested that the U.S. president should seek psychiatric help. Chavez is quoted as saying, "The devil came here yesterday. He came here talking as if he were the owner of the world." He went on and said, "We need a psychologist to analyze Bush." Chavez appealed to the people of the United States and the world to halt this threat, which is like a sword hanging over our head. At the start of his address, Chavez held up a book written by Massachusetts Institute of Technology professor Noam Chomsky and said, the book talks about the imperialist strategy of the U.S., which is the greatest threat looming over our planet. There is a leftist wave of politics that is the sweeping South and Central America. Venezuela was swept up. Bolivia also with Evo Morales. In Chile, I believe it's Michelle Bachelet, who is there. And, you know, so what we're seeing, you know, and actually, you know, to bring Greg Palast's interview back into focus for a moment, Mexico could have gone the same way very easily had it not been for, another stolen election. But see, had Mexico gone that way, had Mexico elected Juan López Obrador as their president, the leftist sweep would have been complete, and there had to be, you know, there had to be a fix-in to keep that from happening. There had to be a fix-in to keep that from happening. And so what has happened is the Bush administration and their, you know, obviously their ties with election chicanery folks has created that situation. So, you know, Hugo Chavez on the floor of the UN. As our friend David said earlier, playing high-stakes winner-take-all poker via the floor of the UN. I was going to talk about this story earlier, but I'm going to do it right now because I have a little bit more time. There's a new report on political corruption in Washington that offers exhaustive documentation of the unethical and possibly illegal activities of the 25 most tainted members of Congress. Five of the names on the list are currently under federal investigation. Senator Conrad Burns of Montana, Republican. Bill Frist, Republican of Tennessee. Representatives Jerry Lewis, Republican of California. William Jefferson, Democrat of Louisiana, and Alan Mulhahn, Democrat from West Virginia. Apparently, others have come under scrutiny for ethical lapses involving campaign contributions, conflicts of interest, improper relationships with lobbyists, and failures to meet disclosure requirements. The report called, quote, "Beyond Delay, the 20 Most Corrupt Members of Congress and Five to Watch," end quote, is the second annual report from the nonprofit legal watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. An associated website, beyonddelay.org, offers both the summary and detailed versions of Cruz's analysis on the transgressions of all 25. A majority of those listed are Republicans, several of whom have been linked to the Jack Abramoff and Duke Cunningham scandals, as well as those cited as being under investigation. The top 20 features such high-profile names as Senator Rick Santorum, R. Pennsylvania, Representatives Roy Blunt, Missouri, John Doolittle, California, Tom Feeney, Florida, Catherine Harris, Florida, Richard Pombo, California, Pete Sessions, Texas, Don Sweeney, New York, Kurt Weldon, Pennsylvania, Chris Gannon, Utah, and J.D. Hayworth, Arizona. All right. The most prominent name on the dishonorable mention list is the Speaker of the House, the sweaty wrestler himself, Dennis Hastert. He's been cited for questionable real estate deals in which he earmarked highway construction money to increase the value of land he owned. The report does not spare the Democrats either, as well as Representatives Jefferson and Mulholland, Maxine Waters, and John Murtha are both cited for using their offices to benefit family members. So there you go. All right, let's take our middle of the half-hour break, and when we come back, I got some other stuff, too, some more corruption stories to bring to you. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program being brought to you on the Head-On Radio Network, simulcast on radiopower.org, streaming around the planet at breakneck speeds. I'll be right back.
You, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No. I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No, you just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, Daddy shall make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
It's 22 minutes past the top of the hour here on the Bruce Birch Radio program. We're in the second hour of the show today. Let's go right over to the phone lines. Our good friend Peter from Tallahassee, Florida is joining us on line one. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today, Bruce. I'm so glad you're feeling better today.
Well, I don't know that I'm really feeling that much better, Peter. I couldn't stay away, though. I just couldn't stay away.
Yeah, after having the flu, it does drain you. It makes you feel kind of rough.
Oh, yeah. But it's okay. I mean, I got my caffeine sitting in front of me. It's keeping me pumped up.
Yeah, I could probably use a cup myself. I'm upset today about something I came across on BuzzFlash. And, you know, Bruce, yeah, you know, last week, every single day of the week, there was another outrage or series of outrages or two or three dozen outrages per day. Next week, there'll be more outrages. Every day, there'll be something new, something new.
Right.
What I'm seeing here today is that the Bush administration's proposed in the 2007 budget to slash funding for the EPA by 80%, specifically directed at their library network. And the library network, according to the article, contains you know, thousands upon thousands of documents that aren't found anywhere else, and scientists rely on them, and industry relies on them, and universities rely on them. But the real outrage, this is not surprising that he's cutting funding for the EPA. Nobody's shocked at that. But what really the outrage is that even though this 2007 budget is not approved, he's already started closing the libraries. By September 30th, it says that 15 states will have lost their libraries for the EPA, and other states are going to start cutting back on hours and services, and, of course, scientists and environmentalists and everybody's outraged about this. But it's just another example of this, the boy king who says, I think we're going to slash the budget, no need to approve it, I'm going to start closing the libraries. But, you know, Bruce, what kills me about this is no matter how loud they laugh at Chavez calling him the devil, and if they laugh loud enough to pick it up through his microphone, I think that's wonderful. No matter how many clips we see of him making a fool out of us and groping the Chancellor of Germany and on and on and on, Bruce, it never happened unless it hits the mainstream news. Never happened. Nobody knows it but us. And there's not, well, there are a lot of us, but you know, I have more questions than answers. What in the name of God are we going to do to get the media back? I'm so grateful, you know, for the Fourth Estate and everything we're doing here to get the real story out. But Dear Lord, nobody knows this. It will never be covered in the news. The library closures won't be covered. The laughter will be glossed over. What are your thoughts on this? I'm just getting desperate. If it's not on the evening news, it didn't happen.
Well, I think part of it, Peter, that's a very astute observation, because I think there's a number of things at play, in my view. The first thing is that the FCC rules are changing. They're changing them so fast that it's hard to keep up with ownership rules, et cetera. And what's happening is that larger corporations, larger media corporations, are grabbing larger and larger shares of individual, of community media. So, you know, you may, and it very well may come down to a point like it was in V for Vendetta, where there's only really one station, there's only really one broadcaster, and they feed you what they want you to know. I think that was also in 1984, was it not?
Yes, it was. But, V for Vendetta was a great movie, too.
You know, and we're seeing, I think what we're seeing, following along that line of reasoning, I think what we're also seeing is we're seeing the advent of people who are fed up with it, such as you and me and Bob Kincaid and Guy James and Greg Palast and other people who are actually, instead of trying to get into the mainstream media to change it, we're actually becoming the media ourselves. And yes, it's true that for the moment perhaps we're preaching to the choir, but I think that by doing this, we're actually giving people, we're empowering them to want to do it themselves. You know, and I can't help but think that the best media that there is one person talking to another in a grocery store line. You know, I don't watch the evening news. I haven't watched the evening news probably in a solid year. Well, at least since I've done this program anyway.
Yeah,
but
I can't take it there anymore. I used to watch it, Bruce, just to see whatever country they're broadcasting from, whatever news they're carrying. It's certainly not from the United States. It's from some made-up world. But I used to watch it every evening just to see what that made-up planet, what they were telling the made-up planet actually happened that day. But I can't even do that anymore. I don't watch it.
And what's so interesting is that you can, you know, if you have the ability to get the BBC news, I think they even stream it, but finding the truth and finding a media outlet that is willing to tell the truth and to be dogged in their reporting, like CBS with Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite used to be years ago, you know, is becoming more and more and more difficult because, the news part of these larger networks has always been a money loser. Okay, it's never made money. You know, but it was their sort of their public service was to do the news and to try to get the truth out there. Now, what's happened is that advertisers, and this is, I read this somewhere and I'm trying to remember where I read it, but anyway, advertisers have created or have been given an undue amount of power over the content of the news itself. So if there's a story that is going to be really damaging to a certain company, you know, the way that they present it is a lot different than it would be if they were completely independent.
Yeah, or a certain political party.
Yeah, or a certain political party, exactly. I remember, the whole thing about the movie about John Kerry, you know, that was going to be broadcast on UPN, I guess it was, one of those Sinclair Broadcasting Networks.
Yeah.
And now there was a bit of a success story because people, like, for instance, here locally, I know, a whole bunch of people got on the phone and started calling advertisers from that station and said, if you are advertising in this time slot, then that means you support this broadcast, and if you support this broadcast, we will discontinue shopping with you. You know, the right wing does that all the time. And so, you know, that's part of what, ultimately what drives the content is the money.
Have you seen the stories over the last few days about the a huge scandal. The Federal Communications Commission has destroyed and actually deleted computer files from a report showing that corporately owned stations in any given local market reduce the amount of local news, and they put out a report saying exactly the opposite.
Yep, I did read that, and matter of fact, I fired off a letter to my senator, to both of my senators, both of whom it'll probably fall on deaf ears, you know, Richard Burr and Elizabeth Dole. But I fired off a letter to them, you know, urging them to keep an eye on the FCC right now, because it's just gone completely amok.
It certainly shows that they're not working in favor of the truth. And if you recall, the Bush administration, one of the promises that they were making during the huge campaign season was the proliferation of the internet, that the internet would be available to every single individual. By internet, I mean high speed, the real internet.
Right.
By 2007, and of course, that's hopelessly behind schedule and laughable in every way.
Which impacts you directly, doesn't it?
Well, it impacts me directly. I mean, for about 3 years, I've been promised DSL here, and the latest promise is next month. And I assure you, I expect that's a Halloween, another lie of disguise.
Well, when it does happen, we're going to throw you a party, man.
Well, I intend to chat and talk on the radio at the same time. I'll just feel like
you don't know what to do with yourself.
I'll have to minimize chat because I won't be able to look at it and talk. You know, hard to take.
I absolutely appreciate that because I think that part of what sells the elections is the coverage by the news media. And I'm going to tell you, had Abraham Lincoln been running, had he run for president in today's age, he never would have been elected, because the man was not a camera friendly fellow. You know what I'm saying? He was kind of a gangly guy and wasn't good looking by any stretch.
Yeah,
he never would have made it in this era of news media driven candidates, you know. So,
I appreciate what you guys are doing and what we're all trying to do. And I hope to God that when we finally get these evil bastards out of office, that the staffing of the Federal Communication Commission is a high priority amongst the new crowd that moves in out there. And staffing it with people who get it, understand what's going on, because I think, I don't think there's a Democrat in the United States or in Congress that doesn't get it at this point. They may be so DLC'd that they're not going to do anything about it, but I don't think anybody doesn't get it anymore who's been on the receiving end of it.
I say we when that time comes that Kevin Martin be escorted from the building by security guards, and that we give the post to Amy Goodman. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I approve of that. I do.
All right.
Okay, Bruce. Thanks for taking a call. I'll talk to you later.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Peter. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay. I'll call. This time of day is usually finishing up things for me, and a lot of times I'm multitasking, but
you're working. You work like a maniac. I know you do.
Well, life is busy when you're trying to live in this day and age. You live 20 miles from town. Filling up the car. At this point in time, I'm having to talk the dog into pulling the car because the gas. You know what I'm saying? Pretty bad.
Or as the president, as the stupid guy said, working three jobs is uniquely American.
Yeah, it's unique, all right. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Peter. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Okay. That's our good friend Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll get right to you. This is the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network, being simulcast on radiopower.org. 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
RC. Let us see an LZ in the place. Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it, it's idiotic. The tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on the kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's a war against evil. It's really just revenge engaged on the poor by the same rich men. Fight terrorists wherever they be found. But why you not bombing Tim McVeigh's hometown?
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science. But it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
It's about 41 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch radio program. Welcome back. I just wanted to get this off my chest because Peter brought it up a few minutes ago.
There's a certain comfort to know that the promises made will be kept by the government. You don't have to worry.
That's good, because I work three jobs, and I feel like I contribute.
You work three jobs?
Three jobs, yeah.
Uniquely American, isn't it? I mean, that is fantastic that you're doing that.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Fan-freaking-tastic.
Get any sleep?
He had the audacity to ask the woman, did she get any sleep, because she's working three jobs to put food on her family. Let's go back over to the phones. Our good friend and compadre in the struggle, Sarge from Southern Mississippi, is joining us online too. Sarge, what's happening, man?
Oh, I'm just trying to get some strength up. Some guy kept me up all last night writing a dang article about him that I'm going to run tomorrow. I can't think of the guy's name. What, Bruce Birch?
No, that would have been, yeah, well, you know what, yeah.
Yeah, the article on you is going to run tomorrow. I want everybody to run over to Powers and Morris and read it. I tell you what, Bruce, you are an amazing fellow, and some of the things that you have experienced, man, awesome. Just awesome. That's all I can say. But it's a great, great, great story, and I hope everybody will read it. It's marvelous.
Thank you. I'll tell you this, Sarge. My experiences are my experiences, and it's like they are what they are. But thank you.
I want to say something, and I want people to really pay attention to this. If pull your ear up close to the radio, to the computer speakers, and I want everyone to hear real close what I'm fixing to say. If you want to see what the United States is going to look like in future years, if you keep these right-wing idiots in office, all you got to do is just look at Mississippi, look at Alabama, and the other southern states, and you will see the United States in 10, 20 years. Because we have lived with this trash all my lifetime and even before me. And we know what can happen. The media has been controlled here since I can remember. I don't ever remember a time of free media, local media in Mississippi. The churches are nothing more than propaganda machines, especially the Southern Baptist. It's all set up, and that's why they're able to come in to the Mississippi coast and Louisiana coast and start doing all this ethnic cleansing that they're doing after Katrina. That's why they're able to kind of upend everybody, and that's why they're killing people with their policies, because they know how the system's been working for decades, and they have figured it out. And if Americans don't pay attention, watch out. I swear you don't want to go there.
The United States of Bushmerica.
That's right. It's sad. And Real Dre made the statement, and he's right. It's about the money. It's about the money. And we've got to get the money out of our political system. It's like Sam, what's her name? I can't think of her last name. Was saying the other day.
Sam Simpson from Florida, right?
Right. You got to take the money out of it, and I salute her because she is trying to do just that. And we have got to organize grassroots. We've got to support candidates who are saying, corporations, I don't want your money. You're not people. You are corporations. That's all you are, and we're not going to let you take over our lives.
Well, I find it to be very interesting in that regard because, you know, one of the things that has happened has been that the corporations themselves, of course, you know, the whole idea of equal protection is not even based in a ruling. It's based one of the opinions that was written about a ruling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, corporations have equal protection, what is called equal protection, which it essentially is corporate personhood. It's basically that they have the same rights as we do as individuals, which is complete hogwash. We've got to do away with that completely. We have to create a whole new system of rules for how corporations are run and the rights and responsibilities that they have. We've got to close the tax loopholes and not allow them to put their corporate office in a post office box in the Bahamas.
Yeah, well, you know, okay.
The Cayman Islands or wherever.
It's like Randy Rhodes said, when you get a corporation that has a vasectomy or hysterectomy, or gives birth to an actual, goes through labor pains and all that, then they can be a person. But until then, no. I'm going to let you go, Bruce. I just wanted to say hello, and thanks for that Greg Palace interview. That was wonderful, man. You did a good job.
You know, thank you. Thank you, Sarge. Just so everyone knows, Sarge is to be credited with getting me in touch with Greg. So thank you, Sarge, for helping me do that, man.
That was my pleasure, man. I was glad it happened.
Now, folks can. This week is Horn Week where?
At powersandmorrison.com. Just drop on over. We got chat rooms, we got message boards, and we have been having horn personnel drop in our chats from 9 o'clock Central Time on. And you never know who's going to drop in. So we encourage everyone to drop in, say hello, and let's get it done.
Who all now? Let me just real quick before you get off the phone.
Okay.
Who all is doing? Who now? You interviewed me.
Mm-hmm.
And Freckles interviewed Agnes, who is Bob's wife and producer.
Right.
Who else is interviewing who else?
Okay, we got Morrison is interviewing Mark Levine.
Okay.
Let's see. Real Dre, I forget who's he's doing. Maybe he'll type it up here and I can see. I have them listed, but I can't think of them right offhand. I'm still kind of tired out, Bruce.
I wore you out, did I?
Yeah. But hey, y'all keep up the good work, and we'll do everything we can to promote Horn, and whatever we can do in Horn's behalf, we're more than willing to do. We totally believe that Horn has the right idea.
Well, we're trying to do it, my friend. We're trying to do it, and I appreciate everything that you guys are doing over there. Wonderful relationship between the two, between our two little communities, and we're building them together.
That's how liberals are going to take back this country. We've got to work together. We can't have this you and me stuff. It's got to be us.
That's right.
Okay, Bruce. Take it easy, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sarge. Have a wonderful evening. That's our friend Sarge from Southern Mississippi, who is actually publishing an interview he did with me tomorrow. Interesting little interview. I think you'll enjoy it. You'll find out some stuff about Bruce Birch you probably didn't know. I don't know, will be either interesting or not at all, depending on how you feel about it. Let's head right back to the phone lines, 877-443-2366. Our good friend Wayne is joining us. Wayne, how are you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm getting better.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're the sick guy. You got to get better so you could come up here for Saturday or what?
I'm doing my very level best. I'm trying to. I think I'm going to go have a blood transfusion just to make sure that we clinch it, okay?
If that's what it takes, man.
Okay.
Got to do what it takes. You know?
Got to do whatever it takes.
You know, I think it's going well. It's a historic event. I mean, you know, they've sold, you know, they're selling, what do they call it? Over room or over something tickets now for $25. You know, they've sold over 2,000 tickets. This is to the West Virginia annual JJ dinner. And the keynote speaker is Barack Obama. Senator Byrd will be there. It wouldn't surprise me to see Rockefeller, you know, all kinds of people. And we're going to broadcast it live.
Well, I will do my very level best to be there, Wayne. We're going to be broadcasting it live this Saturday. Now, what time is this going to start kicking off?
I think the first receptions are like 2 or 4:30 or something like that.
Okay.
When, you know, and then the thing starts at 5:36, the dinner and speeches and yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
Well, I would imagine then that tomorrow we will probably have some promos and be mentioning it on our shows. What time and how people can connect and all that good jazz, that good jazzy stuff. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, even if I only get the opportunity now, you know, I know that Robert Byrd he's an interesting fellow and he tends to vote his conscience on a lot of issues. But I got to tell you, as far as a constitutionally based guy, you know, I revere him with his knowledge of the Constitution.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's something else I revere him for. And, you know, he hasn't voted the way I wanted him to vote a lot of times. You know that. You know, but he has been fighting these people for about this war for a long time. And, you know, you've got to give him that, man. The man's right. And he was right before a lot of other people got on board. And I admire him for that.
Yep. And I remember watching a speech that he gave on the floor of the Senate on the eve of the war and thinking to myself, you know, it nearly brought me to tears because of how impassioned he was about it and pretty amazing.
I've heard different people mention statesmen and, you know, Robert Byrd's an orator. Would that be a proper, did I say that right?
He's an orator?
Orator?
Orator, right.
How do you say
orator,
it?
Sure. orator is fine, yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, he can speak. And, he's a pretty interesting dude. But like I say, I admire his stance on this war and fighting this administration and trying to protect the Constitution. And, you know, and I know he's probably made votes that make that look like it's not true. But he's out front, and, well, I admire him for that. More people
Absolutely.
Gotta get out front, you know, and that's what we have, well, you know.
I certainly hope Barack Obama gets out front here pretty soon. It'll be interesting to see, it'll be interesting to hear his talk and
he's
see
a very
where he,
interesting man.
He is. I mean, the one thing that I really appreciate about him is that he does seem to have a genuine understanding of foreign policy that a lot of freshman senators don't have, you know. And perhaps that's because of his international background. You know, I think his father was Kenyan or something like that. So.
I believe so, yes. And I would say that has a lot to do with it, you know. He's practical, you know. Certainly not liberal. In some things, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, well, there you go with the labels again. I don't even know why I used that, to be honest with you. Makes me mad. But I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what he has to say.
How about we do this, Wayne? How about we get him up there, and then when he starts speaking, we run a tape of Gil Scott-Heron.
There's a hell of an idea. Why don't we try that in a pregame? Just to see how it floats. You know what I mean, Bruce?
Yeah, we'll run the one called "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised." Perhaps.
Or yeah, in the bottle. Or yeah. There are several selections that could be made there, but anyway, I hope you're feeling or that you get feeling better enough to do this, man. Because you know,
I wouldn't miss it for the world, Wayne. Obviously, I will do my best. I'm trying to get all the rest I can. And
I mean, I think it's going to be a historical moment. I really do.
I absolutely concur. I absolutely concur. Wayne, my friend, thank you for calling in today. I appreciate your time and the conversation.
Hey, my pleasure, pal.
And look forward to getting up there and checking out that and being a part of that. It's going to be fun.
All right, we'll talk later.
All right.
All right, bro.
And thanks for joining me. That's our good friend Wayne from West Virginia, true blue union guy, blue collar all the way, man. I love Wayne. What a great guy. You know, just to wrap things up this afternoon, one of the prevailing threads now, you know, each show that I do, sometimes I have an intention that I want to throw through the show for a thread, an idea, a concept that I want to get across. And sometimes the shows just sort of take on a life of their own. And today was one of those days because, I'll be quite honest with you, when I was putting everything together this afternoon, I really just was out of it. So I thought, well, let's take a chance. Maybe let's watch the show go where it's going to go. Today, the show, I believe, went the direction of what Greg Palast was talking about, and that is that, you know what, it's not about race. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about the haves and the have-nots. And you know what, in these United States, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is widening, ever greater. And the have-nots watch, you know, they get on, as Peter mentioned, they get on the TV, they watch the TV, and everyone sort of holds up this model of what the ideal situation for them would be. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, it's not the one they're in. But let me tell you something about that. We have to work harder, you know, and I think that's what we got to do to get these Democrats in the House and in the Senate this fall, because we've got to work harder to bridge that gap, to try to, I don't want to say redistribute the wealth. I mean, oh my God, that's a communist idea or a socialist idea. But the reality is that there are people starving while there are other people who throw away $50 jars of caviar. You know, and that's just a sick thing. We got to change that, ladies and gentlemen. The show today was produced by our good friend Zach Revich there at the Head On Radio Network studios in wild, wonderful West Virginia. The show was announced today by John Fox, and he is also the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services is our IT professional. Thank you, Peter. Gene is our Head On Headline News Ninja. Hiya! Thank you, Gene, for all that you do. As he skirts across the floor in his ninja outfit, about to take down another news story. Now, let's see. Also want to thank...
This is the Quality News Network. The Bush administration and several Republican senators have reached an agreement on the interrogation and trials of suspected terrorists. The National Security Advisor met with GOP senators in public appearance since the start of the 34-day war with Israel. He said Hezbollah has 20,000 rockets and will not disarm, at least not until a stronger Lebanese government is in place. In Gaza City today, the Palestinian prime minister said he will not recognize Israel. Yesterday, the Palestinian president spoke at the United Nations and indicated a coalition government would recognize the Jewish state. Across the Middle East today, protests continued against Pope Benedict and comments they view as anti-Islamic. The Pope has invited Muslim representatives for talks to help diffuse the anger. Turkey, and Iran both immediately agreed to attend. At the United Nations today, Iraqi President Jalal Talabani told the General Assembly that there will be no discussion about withdrawing U.S. troops until the Iraqi forces can maintain security. He also stated that terrorist forces are using his country as a stepping stone for spreading violence. In Baghdad today, gunmen attacked Sunni mosques and homes, leaving four people dead. Police also report finding more than a dozen blindfolded and bound bodies. Last night, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside bombing. In southern Afghanistan today, 19 people were killed when militants ambushed their bush in Kandahar province. The ambush was followed by a roadside bomb explosion. The American death toll from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan now matches the number of deaths in the 9/11 attacks, 2,973. In Germany, up to 23 people were killed today when a high-speed magnetic train crashed. At least 10 others were injured when the experimental train hit a maintenance vehicle on the elevated track. In New York, a three-day conference hosted by former President Bill Clinton has netted the Clinton Foundation